From the Umsullet Grand Center Community Room, welcome to the St. Louis On the Air program and our town hall meeting. I'm Don Marsh. Missouri has the lowest tax in the country on cigarettes. It's 17 cents a pack. That could change on Tuesday when Missouri voters go to the polls. They'll decide two tobacco tax-related issues, Proposition A and proposed Constitutional Amendment 4. The amendment could add $1.27 to the current tax. We'll discuss that a little bit later. But first, Proposition A. It would tack 23 cents to the current tax and add a tax of 5% on other tobacco products. The revenue raised would fund about $100 million in transportation improvements. With me in our community center studio are Stacy Relaford of the American Cancer Society Action Network against the proposal. Ron Leone is executive director of the Missouri Petroleum Marketers and Convenience Store Association. Let me synopsize quickly here. Proposition A reads, shall Missouri law be amended to increase taxes on cigarettes in 2017, 2019, and 2021, at which point this additional tax will total 23 cents per pack of 20. Now to our guest, Ron, I'll start with you and ask you to make the basic case for your side.
Well, Don, good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. Essentially, we were sick and tired of having to fight what we perceive as outrageous and unfair tobacco tax increases every 2 or 4 years, whether it's by initiative petition process like we see this year with Amendment 3 or through the legislature. So what we wanted to do was take control of our own fate, to be proactive, to put forth a proposal that we felt was fair and reasonable but still substantial. It's a 135% tax increase. It keeps us at a competitive tax advantage over our 8 border states, which is one of the critical things we have when assessing any sort of tobacco tax increase. And we put the money into roads and bridges because we felt that was something that benefits all Missourians. I want to state at the outset that $100 million, which this generates, is not going to fix our roads and bridges. It's going to help, but it's not going to solve that problem. So again, the goal was simply to take control of our own fate and hopefully put to rest, at least for the foreseeable future, the issue of tobacco tax increases that we have been fighting for years. Because again, we typically oppose outrageous and unfair tax increases, but we felt it was time to come forward with our own fair and reasonable but still substantial tax increase.
Thank you, and thank you for correcting me. I erroneously mentioned Amendment 4 when I should have said Amendment 3. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Stacy?
Thank you. So Prop A is about keeping cigarettes cheap in Missouri. And as Don noted, we are the lowest tobacco tax in the country. And the amount of this tax isn't designed to reduce smoking. It's written by the tobacco industry and the people that profit from selling cigarettes. And it's really designed to keep smokers smoking in Missouri. And my organization, along with the Surgeon General and many other public health groups, support increasing the price of tobacco products for the pure public health reason to reduce smoking. And so those things are very effective public health interventions when it's a substantial tax all at once, usually a dollar or more. And, you know, this proposal, when it's finally phased in, so when my second grader is actually in middle school in 2021, it will make us 49th instead of 51st in the country. And so that is also assuming that no other state is going to raise their tobacco tax for the next 5 years, which is highly unlikely.
All righty. Ron, talk a bit about the improvements that this Proposition A would cause to happen if it passes.
Well, again, you know, when you're doing something like this, you spend a considerable amount of time and effort drafting the proposal, gathering the signatures, submitting to the Secretary of State. So you want to craft a document that you hope is palatable to more than 50% of the voters that are out there. So once you're decided to tax yourself as an industry, which is what we did with Proposition A, we decided, what do we want to do with this money? What can we possibly do with this money? And so that's why we wanted to put it into roads and bridges. It raises about $100 million a year, which in gas tax terms is about a 3 cent gas tax increase. And again, I don't want to lead anybody astray. This is not in any way, shape, or form a solution to our major transportation problems, but it's $100 million more than we have today. And when you look at what's happening in the legislature and their inability at the state or federal level to pass any sort of sizable transportation infrastructure funding proposal, this is really the only game in town we see for the foreseeable future. And again, I want to mention a little something about Stacy, who I respect quite a bit. We disagree on this issue, but she does a wonderful job. You know, I hear a lot about where, you know, they do, there's a lot of issues about how much the state or the national tax on cigarettes is, that kind of thing. I quite honestly will say that I don't care what the pack of cigarette tax is in New York or in Florida or in California or in Washington. My entire worry is how do we compete with our eight border states here in the Midwest? And so our proposal was still 135% tax increase, but it allows us to maintain that competitive tax advantage so that here in Missouri, we continue to draw, or here in St. Louis, we continue to draw consumers from Illinois, Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska, wherever it is, because then they come into our state. They don't just purchase tobacco products. They fill up their car. They purchase other things. All of that generates important sales tax, tobacco tax, and motor fuels tax for state and local coffers. So we don't want to go so high that we force those consumers to stay home. We make the economic argument that we go high enough that we still will draw those consumers from our higher tax border states, and we're hoping that the voters will agree with us.
Anything to add to that, Stacey?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny to try and use selling cigarettes as an economic boost to our state when smoking in our state is costing, you know, $644 million in Medicaid cost alone. It's estimated about $946 per Missouri household is what taxpayers are basically subsidizing the cigarette manufacturers for those taxpayer related costs. And so to kind of say like, oh, we need to keep cigarettes cheap in Missouri so that people continue to buy them and get sick, I think that kind of runs counterintuitive what we want our state to stand for and what we want to strive for our future.
Are there other taxes involved in this, Ron?
Well, it's different than Amendment 3, which we're going to talk about later, because this taxes cigarettes and what is called other tobacco products within the industry. And so the cigarettes category is one. The OTP, other tobacco products, are cigars, chew, things of that nature. So we have the 23-cent per pack increase on cigarettes, and we go up 5% from 10 to 15% on the tax on other tobacco products, all of which is added in and phased in over the period of time that Don mentioned in the beginning in the introduction, all of which will generate, again, about $100 million put into roads and bridges that hopefully will benefit all Missourians and our economy in general.
Can you clarify something for me? I'm not sure that I fully understand it with regard to if this passes, anything else put on the ballot dealing with tobacco taxes would be repealed. Do I have that right?
Kind of. And let me give you the details. People like to call it a poison pill. We don't call it a poison pill. We call it a rollback. We are literally taxing ourselves by trying to pass Proposition A. What we are very concerned about is that 2 years later, there's another special interest group coming down the pike that wants to tax tobacco tax for their particular special pet project at that point in time. So what we built in was what we call a rollback provision that in the event somebody puts by initiative petition only, not legislature, not legislation in Jefferson City, but by initiative petition only, if they put something on the ballot, it gets certified by the Secretary of State, then the tax increase, assuming Proposition A passes, immediately reverts to zero. Because again, and I'll be very honest about it, we're not shy about saying it, we didn't want to tax ourselves 1 year and then a couple years later get taxed again. And so we wanted to build in an insurance policy, and that's what that provision does.
And to be clear, it's that any other tobacco tax increase has to just be placed on the ballot. It doesn't even have to pass for Proposition A to be repealed. And so for those voters that are looking to Proposition A as some sort of answer to the state's transportation funding problems, which, by the way, are close to, I've seen upwards of $1 billion estimated of the revenue hole that DOT has right now. And for it to be repealed so easily, I mean, anybody could get something on the ballot. I think we see that with the myriad of options that we have on the ballot this year. It's going to cut that funding right away. And then also, I think it's important for people to realize that this is kind of a two birds, one stone proposition for the cigarette manufacturers, and that they can have the state's tax raised very, very low, and then also have it repealed if anybody else tries to raise it. So you can kind of see it's quite good what the convenience store owners have done for themselves, but it's not good for Missouri's consumers.
One of the things I see in my notes here is the fact that the American Cancer Society and the Heart Association think that any cigarette taxes are not high enough. What is high enough, do you think?
Sure. Well, that's based on evidence and data that we've seen from around the country, evidence that's been published in several peer-reviewed journals, and showing that whenever consumers have a bit of a sticker shock, so when you go to the grocery store and your favorite box of cereal has been raised by a dollar, you notice that. If it's been raised by 15 cents, or in the case of Proposition A, 5 cents a year, you don't notice that. You make adjustments. You say, oh, well, I really like Fruit Loops, so I'm just going to buy them anyway. But if they go from $3.50 to $4.50, you notice that. And so that's the difference of a small incremental tax increase versus a sudden larger tax increase. It does actually affect consumer behavior when it's larger, which is why the tobacco industry is opposed to it.
Ron, is 23 cents all the market can bear in your view?
Well, that's the number we chose. I mean, we think that that was an appropriate number. And again, I disagree a little bit with Stacey on a couple of things. First of all, it's not that easy to get something on the ballot. I can guarantee that. It takes a lot of time and energy and a substantial sum of money just to get it on the ballot, let alone the campaign to try and pass the darn thing. And then the larger discussion, I think, that Stacey properly brought forward that is worthy of discussion is how much social policy do you want to effectuate through the tax policy? And so you could tax things outrageously to dissuade certain sorts of behavior. And I think that's something we as citizens should be discussing. Stacey thinks a big tax is a good idea. We think a fair and reasonable tax is the better approach. And the voters will ultimately have the say at the polls.
What happens if both Proposition A and the amendment pass?
Well, that's a great question. A lot of people are scratching their heads at that because it's never happened in our history. My guess is, of course, somebody's going to sue somebody and the courts will ultimately get involved and resolve the issue. There's two options. One is the one with the higher percentage of the vote cancels out the other. I think it's more likely that they're cumulative. There's one on top of the other since they're very different things. One is a statutory change. One is a constitutional amendment. They go to very different purposes. So my gut tells me that that's what the courts will ultimately conclude.
Stacey, if that were the case, that would probably cause a lot of people to give up cigarettes.
Well, I think anytime you're voting on a proposition or especially a constitutional amendment, to not know the complete and total outcome of what that vote means, I think it is dangerous for voters to approve. And so the fact that there isn't a known answer to that question, I think, is disconcerting.
Yeah, I have a question here from a member of the audience. C.J. Franklin writes, it seems Proposition A was submitted or originated by the tobacco industry or Missouri Petroleum Dealers and Convenience Store Association. What is the background? Wouldn't Amendment 3 cancel it out? I guess we're partially answered.
I think
that.
We partially answered that. And I also think, because I've been doing this now, there's 1 week left for the election, thank God, and we've been running around the state having lots of debates, and some of the Amendment 3 proponents are making it seem as if we put Proposition A on the ballot to somehow take the wind out of their sails, which is completely incorrect. We were gathering signatures on Prop A at least a month before we knew that Amendment 3 was starting to gather signatures in the field. And that's how things get on the ballot through the initiative petition process. You submit things to the Secretary of State, and then you go and gather signatures. So we were in the field in December. They started collecting signatures in January. So for anybody to say somehow we knew in advance that we were going to do this in order to keep them from doing something in the future is simply not true.
What about members of your organization? How do they feel about this, individually, if you will?
My members?
Yeah,
my members are in support. Certainly the members that belong to my association. This isn't something that I just kind of came up with.
Yeah.
This was vetted thoroughly through my board, through my members. And again, the purpose of Proposition A, and we'll find out whether or not it flies or not in a week, the purpose was to take control of our own fate for a change. Because again, we're fighting these things all the time. What we view as outrageous and unfair tax increases, we fight those all the time. We support fair and reasonable tax increases, but those are few and far between. So what we decided to do was put forth our own proposal, and that's what you see on Proposition A on the ballot.
According to what I've been reading, there is concern that there would be a decrease in taxes in some jurisdictions because sales would likely go down. Does that sound right?
I mean, that, if I can answer that, that's something that is kind of proposed by people every time that there's a tobacco tax on the ballot. And you know, I think it's a small enough decrease that most municipalities don't notice it. And then also there's obviously a healthcare savings at the tail end of something like that. But there is data behind that from other communities and other states that have raised the tobacco tax.
Stacy has said earlier today that one of the goals of her organization is to tax the product to such an extent that it dampens demand. That absolutely would have an impact on people that sell tobacco products. So I don't think there's any doubt about that. With Proposition A, we felt that we found the sweet spot with that 23 cent per pack, that it would still allow us to increase the tax, still allow us to generate money for a common need, which is better roads and bridges, but still allow us to maintain that competitive advantage over our border states without dampening demand.
And one last thing I'd like to add to that kind of hasn't been talked about today is Ron's Association does, of course, have a lot of convenience stores that are members, but obviously this election cycle, there have been two generic cigarette manufacturers that have contributed very, very heavily to the pack that he runs, and that's the Cheyenne and Excalibur cigarette companies, which are not based in Missouri and sell generic non-brand cigarettes. And in Missouri, they sell quite a few, and that's something that I think voters should be aware of, that they are obviously trying to protect their profit margins and keep their customers smoking in Missouri.
We have another question here from the audience asking, is there an alternative plan if neither passes? What is the future for a larger tax at some point? Do either of you have a feeling about that?
I doubt Ron has a plan for a larger tax in Missouri. So I think in the immediate future, it's really to educate voters about what the burden of tobacco is in Missouri and what a larger tobacco tax could do for that, to reduce that burden. Unfortunately, I don't think anyone can argue that the public health groups do not have the deep pockets of the tobacco industry. And I'm very heartened by the fact that a lot of the editorial boards across our state and a lot of the coverage that I've seen about this issue has shown that people are ready to change the way that we handle the tobacco burden in Missouri. And so I do think it's on the horizon. I can't say when that might be, but I know that myself and other groups are very committed to that goal.
Ron, do you want to address that notion?
Don, I need to get through November 8th, I'll tell you that. That's my main goal. And I'm sure after that, once the dust settles, people will start looking at other proposals, whether it's by legislation or by initiative petition. But another initiative petition isn't proper until at least 2018. So I think we have a couple of years to maybe solve the issue in a way that compromises in the legislature. But we just have to play that by ear as we move forward.
I hope you don't think you're the only one who's anxious for November 8th to come and go. Okay, we're going to wrap it up, but I'll ask each of you if there's a final point you'd like to make, something that you feel should have been addressed but wasn't. Now's the time to make it before we say goodbye.
No, I appreciate the opportunity. I hope you really take a close look at Proposition A. We think we found the sweet spot that, again, generates some money for a common need. I want to be clear, it doesn't solve the problem with roads, but it does make a difference. We do see it's the only road funding coming down the pike in the foreseeable future. And again, it allows us to maintain that all-important competitive tax advantage we have over our border states. So we think while it is a tax increase, it's industry-supported, it protects consumers, it protects small businesses, and we hope that you'll vote yes on Proposition A.
Stacy?
And I would just close with asking voters, to look at what this proposition actually does and doesn't do. And I truly believe that this is very much a bait and switch kind of routine by the generic cigarette manufacturers to basically discourage the state from ever raising taxes enough to make a difference. And so hopefully voters can see through that and understand that we do not value cheap cigarettes, but we instead value the health of all Missourians.
Well, I want to thank you both, Stacy Relaford and Ron Leone, for being with us and talking about Proposition A and making your cases for and against. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.